It used to take a whole crew to create a pop song. You needed a composer, a lyricist, an arranger or orchestrator, a band, a recording engineer, a sound mixer. But today, in the pop world, a single person can do all of that. And that person is called the producer. Oak Felder is a producer. A really, really good one.
I've won a couple of Grammys in my career. I literally have a plaque upstairs that says that I sold 60 million records. None of that matters in this room, because this is where we create. And I am serving the artist.
In this extraordinary episode, this Unsung Science grand finale, we're going to do something I don't think has ever been done. We'll record the entire sessions in which a professional LA producer creates a new song start to finish in real time. He'll describe what he's doing and what technology makes it possible. I don't think you'll ever hear a pop song the same way again. I'm David Pogue, and this is Unsung Science.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Season 2, Episode 25, Grand Finale, A Pop Song is Born. So, I'm serious about that grand finale business. This is the final episode of Unsung Science Season 2, also probably the last episode for a while. I'll explain more about that later. But before we talk about the future, let's talk about the past. In January 2020, I reported a story for CBS Sunday Morning called What Makes a Hit Song a Hit? We interviewed some insanely successful songwriters and asked them to identify the elements that make a pop song pop. One of those people we interviewed was Oak Felder.
I've always said that music is a way to, it's like a conduit of emotion between the creator and the listener. It's the way that you can make a person cry listening to a ballad. Or it's the way that you can make a person shake their booty in the club. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I frequently shake my booty
in
clubs.
Oh, that's amazing, man. That's incredible.
This guy, man, he's won 2 Grammys. Apple has used his songs in 2 of their ads. He's written songs for a few people you might have heard of. Nicki Minaj, Alicia Keys, Mary J. Blige, Miley Cyrus, Rihanna, Usher, Ariana Grande, Alessia Cara, Kelly Clarkson, Demi Lovato, Lizzo, Jennifer Lopez, and John Legend. Oak wrote songs like Sorry Not Sorry for Demi Lovato. Baby, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Baby, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Being so bad got me feeling so good. And Here for Alessia Cara. And Good Kisser for Usher. She's such a good kisser. It's safe to say that more people recognize Oak Felder's songs than would recognize Oak Felder. But he is pretty recognizable.
Man, I'm 6'5" and 300 pounds.
That's 6'5", not including the mohawk. All told, he's written hundreds of songs, maybe thousands. And yet, he doesn't call himself a songwriter. See, I'm a musician too, but my background is pretty different from Oak's. I spent about a decade conducting and arranging Broadway musicals in New York. Oak Felder is Mr. Pop, urban, R&B. And so for me, part of the joy of this experiment was going to be witnessing the difference between how Oak does song creation, both technically and creatively, and how they did it back in the Broadway days. You know, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Kander and Ebb, Lerner and Lowe.
What we used to call a composer, who would be two white guys in button-down suits, one that does the words, one that does the music, that sit at a piano and write a song that they then hand off to an orchestrator.
Right.
Yeah, is all you. It's all, like, that's what a producer is. You've subsumed the roles of many of those things in one person.
Yeah. I happen to work in an era where a producer is kind of expected to be able to do all of that. Mm-hmm. You could literally go from the bedroom to the radio or from the bedroom to Spotify. Mind you, some producers have people that work with them, like guitar players, keyboard players, drummers, etc. But typically, a producer is supposed to encompass all of those roles at the same time.
Right. Oak Felder is funny, he's chill, and above all, he loves explaining what he does. He's done TED Talks and YouTube videos where he explains how he created his various hit songs, kind of like they do in the podcast Song Exploder. So I had this cool idea.
Like, Song Exploder is really cool. They take a great song and they go back and try to remember what it was like to write it.
Right.
What I want to do with you is to create the song start to finish while we're recording. Yep. So people will get an insight into both the technical aspects and the creative aspects.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be interesting sort of showcasing the process because people tend not to understand how nuanced it is. There's the starts, the stops, the pivots, the, oh, this is not such a good idea, and oh, I messed up recording this one part. And so I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant that you had this idea. It's pretty cool, man.
I'm not going to lie. I was astonished that you said yes. Because, like, you produce, you know, some really high-level songs. You would think that this was a potential for risk for you, for embarrassment. Like,
no. No, I have two kids. You know, they embarrass me enough from time to time, so it's all good.
We met in his studio in the mountains overlooking Los Angeles. Not a bad spot.
All right. Like, famous people have sat here with you and worked through a song together, right?
Yeah.
The way you explained it to me last year is typically you'll start by just talking.
Yeah, for sure.
Like therapy style.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to be able to pull the emotion into the song. You know, the songs that are based on real emotions, I think, tend to transfer better to the audience.
So. Okay, well, that's great because I have real childhood problems with my mother.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go. We're diving into the deep end. Let's.
No. I kid. But what I did do to save us time is I've written three complete lyrics, three radically different styles of songs. So I thought maybe I'd let you read them. You haven't seen these, ladies and gentlemen. He has no idea what's on these pieces of paper.
No idea.
All right. So here's the first one. This is the Breaking Up with a Narcissist song. It's called You Do You. Here you go.
Let's see it. You have like a full lyric here.
I didn't know if you were going to be like, this isn't how I do it.
I'm not going to lie to you. There aren't people who are usually as organized as this.
You can use the word anal. That's okay.
Okay, yeah, sure. We can use that word. All right. Let me read these to y'all. Check it out. You spend less time with me than you spend on your hair. When we hang out together, you're not even there. Your favorite pickup line is, guess how much I lift. Your sole religion seems to be that you're God's gift. That's really cool.
There actually is no podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to get Oak Felder saying that I'm cool.
This is your shot, man. This is your shot.
Okay, going on with the cold reading.
This is the hook. You do you. You're head over heels for you. You do you. You've got all the feels for you. You do you. Finally, we can agree. You do you without being. I like this one a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Can we look at the other two options before we make our selection?
So this is the second one. This is based on a true story.
Okay.
So I'm imagining she is singing to him before they have to be separated for a year.
Okay.
And she's saying, we'll survive. We can make it.
Right.
But you can tell that she really doesn't think it'll last.
Oh, no. Here we go. This is a ballad. This is obviously a ballad.
Yeah.
It's only a year, baby. It's only a year. And then I'll be there in the spring. It's nothing to fear, baby. It's nothing to fear. A little break won't change a thing. You said you don't know, baby. You said you don't know how to feel while we're apart. But give it a go, baby. Please give it a go. Aren't you listening to your heart? You know what I like about this, by the way? Just side note. I like how the font that you've selected to write these out are very like something that you would see on like a really thought out like Hallmark card or...
It's in italics.
A lot of love and care went into that one.
All right, so here's candidate number three.
Already?
This one proposed by my daughter, Tia. She's like, if you want to reach the youths today, they think the world is going to hell.
Right.
So maybe you do something on All the Way the World Sucks, but the chorus is like, but at least you and I have each other.
Yeah. If I look at the news these days, I start not feeling well. Yeah, I can name 1,000 ways the world has gone to hell. The CO2... The equine flu, the species that we've lost, the dying bees, the plastic seas, and how much groceries cost. The violent cops, the dried up crops, the heat waves in the fall. But I say, oh, but even so, my headline tops them all. Chorus, I've got you, you, you. You make it all somehow make sense. Yeah, you, you, you. You're my current of events. I don't know. I like all three of these. I think the you do you idea is really cool. Yeah, I think that's cool. All right.
Okay, so at this point, Oak turns to his huge computer screen, which is angled slightly backwards on his desk. There's a keyboard right under it, as in a piano-style keyboard. And then his computer keyboard and mouse are below that on a pull-out tray. For the rest of this episode, you're going to hear the musical creation process with minimal interruptions. I highly recommend listening with headphones or earbuds or good speakers if you can. Anyway, on his screen, he's running Logic Pro, software that can display hundreds of parallel bands that represent the tracks of the song you're making. You know, one track for bass, one for drums, and so on. Like a pro version of GarageBand, I guess.
Like, I have a lot of different instruments that are sort of in it that either I would install in it or already come with the program. This particular piano, it's called Keyscape. It's a great sampled piano. And it sounds like a real piano, which is why I like using it.
And just to be clear, the musical keyboard on Oak's desk is called a controller. It's not a synthesizer. It doesn't make any sounds of its own.
It's only a trigger, you know. So when I press the C note... The sound isn't actually coming from the keyboard. It's telling my computer to tell the Keyscape plugin that's in Logic to generate the sound that a piano would have generated if the C key on an actual piano were pressed.
That's awesome. Finally, it was time to start actually writing. He set the metronome to 93 beats a minute.
Alrighty. I think 93 is a good tempo. Okay, so this... is a darker concept. So right now what I'm doing is I'm opening another plugin that's gonna give me yet another sound. I need like a low rolly bass, I think.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
All right around there? All right, so now that I have my bass, my basic chord progression. Like, so, starting on this minor chord.
Good call. Good call.
Because it's a darker feel.
Yep.
Up to the major to kind of give it a little bit of light, but then, psych, bring it back down. Okay, so now that I've figured out what my chord progression is going to be, I'm just going to play the bass line. And when I press record, if you hear this, that's my metronome. It's opted to go at 93 because it's, you know, it's fast enough to bop to, but it's slow enough to cry to.
Yeah, yeah.
All
I mean, it is already cool enough that I feel like we should have the conversation about the royalty split.
Ah, there you go. There you go. He's learning, ladies and gentlemen. I have a vocal idea. I think this is going to end up being, if I'm not mistaken, I think this feels like a female vocal.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. And that's the thing. When you work with different artists, you kind of have to really get a sense of them because every artist has a different sonic, what I call a sonic palette. There are sounds that I would use for Demi Lovato that I would never use for, say, Ty Dolla $ign. There are sounds that I would use for Selena Gomez that I would never think to use for Anne Marie, the UK artist Anne Marie.
Huh.
So that while I'm creating and while I'm adding sounds, usually they'll be sitting back on the couch right where you're sitting going, ooh, ooh, that's fire. Oh, that's dope. That's amazing. When that doesn't happen, that means I'm really bombing it. So right now I'm creating another sound here. This is called a Rhodes keyboard.
Oh, I had a Rhodes.
Oh, man, these are the classic.
That's like from the classic 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of reverb.
Oh, my gosh, that's cool.
And then I'm going to add something called Wow and Flutter, and it basically takes the sound and makes it sound like it's coming off of a really old school tape. Hear it? It's sort of emulating what like worn tape would do, or like a warped vinyl. And believe it or not, that they use a lot of that in music.
Are these standard? Is this red and blue in your paint box? Are these things you use all the time?
No. Because in my mind, the lyrics here, you're criticizing a person for being a narcissist, but it's not spoken. If the artist somehow insinuated, yes, you think you're all that and you think you're God's gift to everything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? You do you. That to me is so cool. The insinuation of how awesome I believe myself to be, to let go of your egotistical ass. And somehow I think that that energy needs to make its way into the music. Wow and Flutter is instant cool. So I'm going to add that. Awesome. I should mention, by the way, that while I'm working on this, Keith and Alex are working on accompanying sonics to go with this. Ear candy, extra chord progression stuff.
He's talking about Keith Sorrells and Alex Nice, who'd been working in the same room this whole time with headphones on. Keith and Alex are Oakfelder protégés, talented young producers in their own right.
And shout out to Oscar Lindander. He's my assistant engineer.
Oscar was recording this whole session on separate tracks so I could make a podcast out of it.
Okay, right now my voice is going through auto-tune. Right now I have auto-tune on my voice.
You and T-Pain, man.
Me and T-Pain. All right, yeah. Okay, so I know that the word you is going to feature very prominently in this song.
Yes.
I want to give a little bit of foreshadowing to that earlier in the song. You. You. Okay. I have a little bit of reverb, and this particular reverb is pretty big.
You.
So it kind of sounds like I'm in a big cavern.
Yeah.
And then I have a little bit of Wow and Flutter on this track as well. Those things put together kind of create almost like a very vintagey sounding sampled vocal. I'm going to add a snap right quick just to kind of set the rhythmic tone.
On 2 and 4?
That's exactly right. I have a library of sounds. I have sounds.
On the screen, he's got like 75 clicks.
I make the joke that a producer's life is looking for sounds. You wake up, you brush your teeth, you look for sounds. You get dressed, you go to work, you look for sounds. Or you get to the studio, you sit down, you look for sounds. Like, that's just a producer's life looking for sounds. I want something not too crispy. Maybe that one. I like this sound, but I think it's a little too low. And this is what it sounds like after pitch shifting it upward.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is cooler. All right, I'm gonna add one more instrument here. Something to add just a little bit of buzziness. First, I'm gonna find the sound that I wanna use to layer. Again, looking for sounds. Here we are. Welcome to my life. So now we have this initial sound. So I'm going to layer it. I've created a duplicate track with another instrument, and I've just taken the data of what I've played and copied it down. Mm-hmm. And so now there's a second track playing this.
Blade Runner.
Very much. Matter of fact, the instrument that this plugin emulates was used to make the Blade Runner soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Totally. That and Stranger Things. So when you put those two together. So it kind of creates a little bit of a menacing feel, like, because it's scathing, right? I can see her delivering it in a very sort of pleasant.
Poisonous smile.
Very poisonous smile vibes here. Because this is exactly what happens while you're creating a production. You're thinking about all the emotions, and you're trying to figure out a way to represent those emotions sonically. In a lot of ways, creating a pop song is you're scoring the lyric that it accompanies. All right. So now I'm going to create an alternative section. My man. Okay, so Alex just sent me some stuff to add. So, this is what Alex just added. Come on, bro. And so these are all of the tiny details that go into a production that make it feel so much richer.
At that moment, Keith sent his stuff to Oak over the network. Some fancier drum work.
So has Keith sent you his stuff now?
Oh, yes, he has.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's go, bro.
And it was here, for the first time, that Oak started thinking about a melody for the song. He'd come up with the vibe first, and then the chord progression, then the arrangement, and only then the tune.
I can hear a melody for the verse. You spend less time with me than you spend on your. When we hang out together, it's not even. Your favorite pickup line is catch how much I lift. Your soul religion seems like that's God's gift. Right? These sounds, this is called a swish. Happens a lot of music. It's like a build-up release. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is going into our pre-chorus, and our pre-chorus is a little bit of a drop-off of energy. Then we go into our chorus. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And then we go into our chorus. I'm going to lay like a quick idea of what I think the melody of this should be.
Now, here's the part that really blew my mind. We'd both envisioned this song for a woman to sing to a man. And now he was about to lay down a rough scratch track of the vocal line as a man. And as you are probably aware, most men's voices have a lower range than women's voices. So get this, he transposed the key of the song down for his own sung version with the intention of shifting it back up again later.
So what I'm doing is I'm pitching it down. I'm going to sing it pitched down. Then when I pitch it back up, my tone will have shifted to be a little bit more representative of what a female vocal would feel like.
You may be familiar with an earlier use of this technique. In 1958, songwriter Ross Bagdasarian bought a tape recorder with a unique feature, as his son Ross Jr. explains in this YouTube video.
This is the tape recorder, and what it was able to do that none of the other things could do back in those days is actually switch speeds. You could actually change the speed so that then my dad spoke like that.
Yeah, when Bagdasarian Sr. recorded his own singing voice normally,
one tall plane that loops the loop, me, I want a hula hoop.
And then sped the tape recorder to its faster speed, voila! Alvin and the Chipmunks were born.
Wonder plane that loops the loop, me, I
And now, 65 years later, Oakfelder was about to perform the same trick digitally. Not to make himself sound like a rodent, but to make himself sound like a female vocalist. Here's his original performance.
You spend less time with me than you spend on your head. When we hang out together, you're not even there.
And then he did the same trick with the pre-chorus, a melody that he made up on the spot.
You must be jelly with your veins full of ice.
And then, with harmonies added on successive passes.
You must be chilly with your veins full of ice. You must chilly with your veins full of ice.
And then, here it is after chipmunkization. Introducing Oakfelder, female vocalist.
Yeah.
And finally, the moment of truth, the chorus. The hook, a super creepy, super earwormy leap to the ninth of the scale.
You do you, baby, I'll do you without me. Okay, okay. Baby, you do you, your head over heels for you, baby. You got all the feels for you, baby, you do you. So there's my rough scratch of where I think the verses are. Can we do a crowd stack?
Are you guys the crowd?
You're the crowd too.
I'm in it?
Yeah.
All right.
Come on now.
Now I get...
We're all the crowd.
Mechanical royalties now.
We are. There you go, exactly. Hey, you can go get that after check.
Yes, we were about to do a crowd stack, also known as a gang vocal, also known as... being backup singers.
So let me explain for people who can't see what's going on. Yeah. We're crowding around a microphone, getting ready to record what's called a gang vocal. I like to do my gang vocals outside of the booth. And basically, anytime you listen to a record that I've done or somebody else have done, you see hear a whole bunch of people shouting in the background. One good example is Cheers by Rihanna. Cheers to the frickin' weekend, I drank to that. Everybody's singing with them and her. And it's like 15 people all at the same time. More often, it's actually three or four people recorded numerous times to make it sound like there's more than three or four people in the room, just like we're getting ready to do. And the reason you would record a gang vocal, I find that a gang vocal is a way to inform the audience of what to sing. Because if they're listening to a song and they hear a group of people singing, your natural inclination is to want to join and sing along. And so it's sort of an instruction that tells the audience, now this is where you sing. So that's what we're doing right now.
It was Oak and his assistants and me. He sang the lick for us a couple of times.
All right, so the line. Ooh. That's all it is. Two more. Appreciate y'all. Might need a little bit of tuning, but y'all sound great. To tune this, I actually have a program called MetaTune that will tune anything. It'll tune all of the voices simultaneously.
Oh.
Oh, wait. No. We're going to stop the beat for dramatic effect.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Oh my God!
That's so good.
Gotta tell you, the mood in that room was getting electric. We were creating something from nothing.
Well, but yeah, that's the process for the most part, at least the writing portion of it.
Yeah.
Then there's part two, which is the recording part portion where we get to the vocal, and that's a little bit different. It kind of requires a little bit of a switch in mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I think we should do? I should book a vocalist to come in and sing this. Because my vocal wouldn't stay on the recording. I'm not a singer. But once we get a vocalist to come in and knock it out and nail it,
yeah,
it's going to sound fantastic.
Honestly, that was my secret fantasy for this thing from the beginning.
I mean, L.A. must be full of amazing singers, and Oakfelder probably knows a lot of them. After the ads, you'll get to hear how that went. And then at the very, very end of this episode, you will finally get to hear the mixed, final, finished masterpiece, You Do You.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
The writing session you heard before the break, where Oakfelder wrote a song in real time, took place in October 2022. All we had left to do was get a great singer to record it, but getting that lined up took nearly a year. On top of his regular songwriting duties, Oakfelder started winning awards, writing more movie scores, and traveling a lot. And of course, I live on the wrong coast. But finally, in August 2023, our stars and our schedules aligned. Oak invited an up-and-coming vocalist to record our masterpiece. Her name is Lex. She's 24. She's from Anchorage, Alaska. And as far as I can tell, her voice can do anything. She went into the vocal booth off of Oak's studio, where Oak could direct her over an intercom setup.
Mic check, can you hear me?
I can.
How are you feeling, my friend?
I'm feeling great, happy to be here.
Wow, you sound awesome right now.
Thank you so much, thank you.
Can I tell you how I expected the recording session to go? I assumed that Oak's folks had sent the song to Lex ahead of time, so she could learn it and rehearse it. Maybe they'd even written it out as sheet music, I don't know. Well, boy was I surprised. Upon her arrival at the studio, Lex knew nothing about the song. She didn't know what it was called or even how it went. And she had no expectation that she would know.
So this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to loop the first 8 bars of this for you.
Thank you. You spend less time
with me than you spend on your hair. Yeah, so usually the process is... I just loop it section by section. She cuts it section by section. She's going to learn it, and then we're going to get, like, multiple passes.
You're doing, like, line by line?
Yeah, we're going to cut it line by line.
That's yeah. Normal?
Yeah, typically. About 60% of the time, that's usually how it's done. Yeah.
That's so yeah. Different from what I expected. Yeah. But Lex wasn't just recording each line once. She recorded each phrase over and over, even though each one sounded perfect to me. They are not
even there. Fantastic pass. Love that one. Give me another one. Not even there. Beautiful. Great tone, homie.
Thank you so much.
Give me like 3 more passes. I think we got it.
Okay.
Not even there. Fantastic. Next 2 passes. Give me a little bit more motion, too.
Okay. Together, you're
not even there. Beautiful. One more.
And the reason you're doing multiple passes is
because I'm going to have maybe like 6 or 7 takes here. And I'll be able to cut between each of them to get the best parts of them to create one performance.
So you might take 1 syllable from take 1, 1 syllable from take 4.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and that's what comps are called. That's what comps are. So essentially, like this lyric here, you spend less time. I take a word from each pass. You spend less time. When you get a chance, look up Billie Eilish comp. Have you ever seen it? 80 passes.
Oh.
That's not an exaggeration. Literally a syllable. Each pass. Google that.
I did. It's on YouTube. It's a clip from the Netflix show My Next Guest with David Letterman, and Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas are showing Letterman the tracks she recorded on the screen, showing him how the finished vocal line was cobbled together from individual pieces of dozens of different takes.
Here is the vocal take for Billie's song, Happier Than Ever.
So do you see all of those lines? Those are all
separate
cuts.
Audio files that have been put into one take. We got up to like 87 takes.
Pay attention. Different take. Different take. Different take. Different take. Different take. Different take. And you would never know!
And so that's how Lex recorded the song. One phrase at a time, six or seven times a piece. Sometimes, Oak, the composer slash arranger slash instrumentalist slash sound engineer, also gave her performance notes.
One thing I want you to focus on here. Your soul religion. Watch your enunciation there. I want to make sure that the L is there.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's going to sound like you're so religion.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, one more time. So you sound amazing, my friend.
Thank you so much.
You're a musical director, too.
Gotta be, man. Gotta be. Because the thing is that being in the booth and recording a song is like being too close to a mirror. Like you need somebody with a further away vantage point to kind of give you a pointer on what it is that they're doing wrong or doing right. Fantastic, my friend. Let me get two more and I think we got it.
Okay.
Let's go.
Throughout the afternoon, Oak introduced me to new recording techniques, like stacking.
So we're stacking. So that basically means I'm getting her to overlay the vocal that she's already done. To make it sound like there's multiple versions of herself. I usually stack four times and then pan them out to the left and right to make it sound wider.
I can't believe you say usually. Like, this is a well-known thing that everybody does.
Oh, totally, man. But
the consumer, the listener, has no idea.
They have
what
no
goes
idea,
on.
Yeah. There's so many technical things that happen that I think that the listener takes for granted.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, if we're doing our jobs correctly, then they should. Because, you know, it's part of the art of making it sound great. And you don't want to necessarily think about why it sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, people who go to amazing restaurants don't necessarily care how the chef made this compote taste so good. You know what I mean? It just tastes good. That's all they care about. So.
I also noticed that he usually made up one harmony line while Lex was recording the previous one. Sometimes he'd sing it into his phone, into voice memos, so he'd remember it a minute later. Since you ask
me, let me tell you my advice. One more.
Ooh, you're thinking of
harmonies. Yeah, I'm going to add one. Since you ask me, let me tell you my advice. Yo, can I get a harmony right quick?
Yeah.
Since you won't ask me. Can I get that right fast? Since you won't ask me. Here we go. Since you won't ask me. Since you won't ask me. Since you won't ask me. Let me get a harmony there, too. Since you won't ask me. Let's go. Since you won't ask me. Beautiful.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Lex, you sound incredible, my friend.
Thank you so much.
You already knew that, though.
You know what? I like hearing it every now and again.
I'm not mad at you.
Thank you so much. The reassurance is great. I love that.
Reassurance is very important.
You know, I think the world of you, Oak. But she sounds a lot better than your demo.
She definitely sounds a lot better than my demo. Yeah, no.
And I learned about punching in, where the software plays back a full line of what's already recorded, but re-records only a note or two of it, a couple of seconds that you've specified in advance.
Punching is really cool because I get to just dip in and out of a performance that she's already done. Like, let's say she does a pass that sounds amazing and there's just one word that's kind of out of place.
Mm-hmm.
I get to have her just jump in on that one word and leave the rest of the recording unaffected.
And is that better than having her do the whole take and you...
Typically, I prefer a whole take because it gives you a more natural performance.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes when the performance that you have feels amazing and you just need it to be technically correct,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's better to focus on technicality in a precise way.
I see, as opposed
to look, you know, trying to redo the whole thing. So, tell you.
Okay. Ask me,
let me tell you. Fantastic. There you go. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Masterclass with Oak Felder.
Masterclass with Oak Felder.
You know what else was in his masterclass? This little bit of sneakery.
And then the very last line.
Okay.
This one right here. Got to deliver it with a lot of attitude. You do you without me. Nice. Great vibrato. Jeez. Baby, you do you without me. So sometimes without knowing, I'll just record them like I'm doing right now. She thinks she's practicing it. But I'm actually recording it.
Because sometimes you get gold that way.
Hell yeah. And it's a way for them to record without the pressure of worrying about getting it right. which makes you get it right more often.
Do you without me?
Just for the record, Lex didn't get paid anything for this. None of us did. For Lex, it was all about working with Oak, hoping to sow the seeds for a big career. Regardless of this podcast thing, you will work with a total unknown, a young promising person, just because like it's an investment that they might become somebody big?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if I believe in it. I mean, to be fair, it takes a little bit of delusion to be in the music industry to begin with. You kind of have to believe that unlikely things are likely to happen, right? But to be honest with you, I wasn't even in a space where I wanted to like develop an artist or anything like that. And I was skeptical at first. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then she went in the booth and her voice is its own character, which is wonderful.
And that's how it went. Oak crafting the pieces of the song one snippet at a time, feeding it to Lex in the booth, while somehow keeping the bigger picture in his head. Oh, and we got to do another gang vocal.
So the note is, we're going. Shall we do that? Fantastic. Yeah, give me four more. Fantastic. The You Do You crew.
Finally, after only a couple of hours, it was time to give the whole thing a listen.
Hey!
Baby, you do you without me.
Fantastic. Lex, come on out for one second, my friend.
So I had no idea how much of all this is real time. The two of you are like making stuff up as it goes along.
Oh,
I mean, that is
sure.
So not what I had, what I come from, where you have a piece of sheet music with the whole orchestra and everybody's parts and everybody's rehearsed it. And I mean, Lex, I can imagine you walking out of here and not being able to sing the song.
Really?
Well, because you've only done it in pieces, right?
Yeah, that's very true. Oh, yeah, no.
There's a lot of times where I forget what I did as soon as I leave the booth. But then, you know, after a while, you kind of hear it back. But
once it's top 40 and you hear it coming out of every radio, then you'll know it.
Right.
Yeah, then
at
you'll
that
know.
Point, we've all delivered.
Yeah. When somebody stops you in the grocery store.
Right. When I can't even go to the grocery
when you
store
can't even
anymore.
Go to the grocery store.
That's when I know that I've delivered.
The singing was over, but there was a little spoken part that I thought might make this song extra juicy. And Oak Felder himself volunteered to be the voiceover artist.
I'm going to put our outro here. I think that's a good way to cap off the song, in my opinion. So now let's make this vocal sound
this
really...
This personality disorder is found more commonly in men. Symptoms include an excessive need for...
I'm going to make my voice a little bit lower.
Autistic personality disorder is found more commonly in men.
There is no cure.
Love that.
That's cool.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty fun.
That's hilarious. And finally, the grand reveal. We all sat on his couches... listening, grinning, and bopping as we played back the rough cut.
Okay. Let me do some leveling here and then we can play it down.
You spend less time with me than you spend on your hair. When we hang out together, you're not even there. Your favorite pickup line.
But I'm not going to spoil it for you. You will hear the finished thing in just a second. But when we finished listening, it was like...
...ability to handle criticism and a sense of entitlement. There is no cure.
Amazing!
Yay!
Lex, awesome.
And the You Do You crew.
And the
You Do You crew.
David and the You Do You crew.
You got us one, boys.
That's fantastic. I love that. That's actually a really dope song.
Oh my God, yes. Definitely.
Okay, so I'm going to be 100% honest with you. So when I was like set to the task of creating this music, it's like, oh, you know, he's got these lyrics written. He wants you to write the song to it. My initial reaction that I had to suppress out of fairness was, oh, I don't know. You know, you never know if it's going to be dope.
Like, right.
It's kind of a coin toss and it's like a 60% chance that it's not going to be good. And this shit came out incredible, man. This came out really good.
When the public hears these songs, your songs, hit songs, they say, oh, have you heard that new Demi Lovato song?
Right.
when it really was your song. Does that bug you?
No, not at all, man. I'm a servant. I'm making the song for them. If I walk into a situation saying this is my show, I've already failed. Because it's not. It's not my show. Like,
I'm not used to that approach in the arts, in the creative arts.
And by the way, I make the distinction of saying that producers are not artists. I don't consider myself one.
What? Oh, come on.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, this interview's over. That's ridiculous.
I'm dead serious.
Every second of every beat, you were making artistic decisions.
I'm making artistic decisions, but collaboratively with the other people that are involved. Somebody throws an idea to me, I say, that's dope. I have an idea, I toss it in there. You get what I'm saying?
No, because I saw you write the song, arrange the song, orchestrate the song, and sing the scratch track of the song.
That's right. And then when this song is a hit, somebody's going to be like, hey, play that new Lex record.
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody's going to say, play that new Oak record. Nobody's going to say that. And rightly so.
No
one should say that.
You like, know like, the guy like, who created the well, rhythm, the harmony, the melody?
Well, here's the other thought process, Dave. You really got to think of it in this way, man. After today, I don't have to think about this song anymore. But if this song is a hit, Lex is going to have to sing this record for the rest of her life. Seriously. This song becomes a part of her legacy. It's going to be appropriate for someone to say, oh, it's that new Lex record. Because she embodies the performance and the performance embodies her.
All right. Well, I'm not kidding you guys. I had no idea this is how it works. Man, the ideas flying back and forth in real time. Mm-hmm. That is not how we did it on Broadway.
Oh, man.
Everybody shows up with sheet music. The charts are done. The tempos are frozen. And you start at measure one and you finish at measure 64 and you go home. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is much more like a, you know, almost like a jazz improv thing.
Oh, yeah. It's improvisational creation. And the truth is that before we started this process, this didn't exist. And then someone did something, and then it did exist. It's the biggest rush when you do it and you do it correctly. I feel like we did that today, though.
After the recording session, we all went our separate ways. Oak spent a little more time with the song, mixing all those tracks into the final version, and you're about to hear it. But I feel like the climax of this episode should be the grand reveal of the world premiere. So before we wrap up here, I've got two small notes. First, remember how I wrote the lyrics for three songs for Oak to choose from? Well, I've posted all three of those lyrics at unsungscience.com. If you're a songwriter yourself, a producer, and you feel inspired, feel free to set them to music yourself. Send me what you come up with. My email address is pogue@me.com. pogue@me.com. If I get a couple of good submissions, I was thinking maybe I'll feature him in a future Unsung Science episode. And the second big note, as I hinted earlier, we've come to the end of Unsung Science Season 2 and the beginning of my book break. I'm working on a new book for Simon & Schuster, the coolest idea I've ever had for a book, but it's a massive project and I've really got to buckle down and get the thing done. So if you haven't picked up on it from the warm, honeyed tone of my voice over the last 3 years, this is my chance to tell you officially how much I've cherished your listenership. Your reviews, your emails, your greetings in airports. It's been a thrilling ride and I've loved every minute of it. Thank you to you and to the teams at CBS News, Simon & Schuster Audio, and PRX, who made Unsung Science possible. If you haven't heard all 40 episodes, go back through the archives. There's some great stuff in there. Meanwhile, here's a tip. Don't unsubscribe. Okay, and now, enough teasing. I'm proud to introduce to you the world premiere of a new song by Oak Felder and David Pogue, performed by Lex, recorded by Oscar Lenander, co-produced by Keith Sorrells and Alex Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, You Do You.
You spend less time with me than you spend on your hair. When we hang out together, you're not even there. Your favorite pickup line is, guess how much I lift. Your sole religion seems to be that you're God's gift. You must be chilly with your veins full of ice. Since you won't ask me, let me tell you my advice. Baby, you do you. Your head over heels for you, baby, you do. about me. The way you tune me out is getting kinda lame. And after all this time, your friends don't know my name. You were so charming once we fell in love so fast. I should have figured out that sweet stuff wouldn't last. You must be chilly with your veins full of ice. Since you won't ask me, let me tell you my advice. Baby, you do you.
Personality disorder is found more commonly in men. Symptoms include an excessive need for admiration, disregard for others' feelings, an inability to handle criticism, and a sense of entitlement. There is no cure.
If you like Unsung Science, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.